Citizen Police Academy. This 12-week academy starts on Tuesday, September 5th and runs through Tuesday, November 21st. For more information, contact 262-886-2300.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News, and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello, you're listening to WGTD's Community Matters with Xander Miller. I have a few guests today for the show with me. I have Venus, Ricardo Nguyen, and Seven Lockett with me. Venus, let's start with you for an introduction of who you are, what's your organization, who are you?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Venus. I am the equity coordinator at the LGBT Center of Southeastern Wisconsin. I run a program called Colorful and Connected, which focuses on Black and Brown queer folks in Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth. Pronouns they, them. I think that was all I was supposed to answer. So, yeah.
Thank you, Venus. Ricardo?
Hi, my name is Ricardo Nguyen. I'm a Milwaukee native, and I am a community organizer and advocate.
Then Seven Lockett.
Hi, my name is Seven Lockett. She, her pronouns. I am a trans advocate here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and a ballroom participant.
Awesome. Thank you. So I kind of want to start with Venus. So you work with the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin. Could you tell me what the center is about? What types of things does the LGBT Center focus on for the communities you serve?
Yeah, so the LGBT Center is located on Junction Avenue in Racine. We're kind of the only center for like the Racine and Kenosha area, so we cover like a lot of spaces, or try to. We just like increase our size by two, so me and the youth coordinator. It was originally just Barb, our ED, and Jasmine, our operations manager, so we're a team of four, so very petite. But like we like to think we do a lot, for sure. We do a lot of youth programming. My particular program, Colorful and Connected, is a newer program that we're just trying to get like up and running for real. So that's kind of what we do. We do like a lot of safe zone trainings, community outreach and advocacy. We're a drop-in center as well, so people can just come and hang out at the center too.
All right, so an organization serving LGBT folks, and not just like an organization that's kind of sitting there and just around the people, but you have a physical place that people can go to while you're doing trainings as well.
Yeah, so we just came back from a training, actually. We go out to different orgs, nonprofits, people, places to do like these safe zone trainings where we basically do like LGBT 101 with folks. So that's super cool. And we also work within like some of the schools here in Racine, just to help them with their GSA programs, or any like youth LGBT programs as well.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Venus. Seven, Ricardo, how did you get involved with the LGBT Center, or how was this connection made?
So I can speak to that. I have been a part or a member of the center for a while. I originally stumbled upon the center around the pandemic. And I kind of created or fostered a relationship with the ED, Barb. And we just have grown to really have a mutual respect for each other and try to assist each other in uplifting the city of racing and trying to partner or collaborate with different events or just different things that are going on in the city to help foster community for LGBT-centric folk. And so I recently was introduced to Venus through, I want to say, what was that? Probably like a community friend or something along the lines of that originally. And and come to find out that they work for the center. And so when I was engaging the center just personally and for professional matters, Venus and I were able to kind of connect and just kind of talk about how they have a love and a passion for wanting to uplift racing and create community, like I said, for LGBTQ folks. And so it's just been nice. And then we came up with this ballroom idea. And of course, I had to tie in Ricardo Nguyen, who is a ballroom pioneer, ballroom expert. And so we just have just been fostering, you know, this event, and we're looking forward for people to come enjoy ballroom culture.
Now, you mentioned a ballroom event and ballroom culture. What event's coming up that you're partnering with here?
I'll say it. So it's called the Pleasure Ball. But in addition to that, we're also going to have a harm reduction fair, or so you will, where it's an all-day affair. And Venus can talk more about that.
Yeah, so the September 22nd is the big day. From 11 to 3, we are doing a community harm reduction market. So anybody who has sponsored us, any Black and Brown-owned small businesses, or any businesses that are racing in Kenosha, you know, centric, can come and vend there. We're focused on Black and Brown-owned small businesses, though, and they're able to table for free. And we're also doing some activities, like, with our youth. So we're doing an activity called We Deserve Our Flowers Now, where our youth coordinator is going to be doing some paper flowers, and they can make bouquets for, you know, someone they care about if they want to. Sunseeker MKE is going to be doing a reading with the homies segment, so reading some books to the youth. There's going to be a mini runway and like some VIP interviews for the kids so they can still feel included, as well as like just a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll have food there, all the vendors and cool things like that. But the Pleasure Ball is kind of like the main event for the night. It is 18 and up. It is the first one of its kind in Racine, so that's super exciting. I guess I can let them take this part of the segment.
Yeah. So as Seven mentioned, I know Venus because of Seven, and how I know Seven, she is one of my mentees. And with the work that we do in ballroom, from my capacity, I have an initiative called Community Action, Empowering Community Action Initiative, where we're focused on building healthier Black and Brown communities and queer and same-gender loving individuals. And with that, we have an emphasis on house and ballroom communities. So with that, we do a thing called Vogue Nights. And Vogue Nights is a practice space for house and ballroom kids to come learn categories and walk to prepare them to go into major balls. And so the ball that we're doing on September 22nd, the Pleasure Ball, is actually counted as a major ball. And what that means is that we have over 20 categories and we're giving out a certain amount of money. And the collaborative partnership that we're doing with the LGBTQ Center and with Venus is going to allow us to mobilize Black and Brown people who need to be in those spaces, who need those services. And I'm thankful that Venus is representing with the center to collaborate with us, because as we talk about misappropriation, that is a whole nother thing that can be spoken about. But this ball is meant to show people that you can be yourself. So pleasure, that's exactly what it, how you probably interpret it, that's exactly what it is. It is to show that that sex is safe, that sex is fun, and sex can be creative and innovative. And we will be demonstrating that on that night with fun. So
you're mentioning ball a lot as a term, and I know I'm not very familiar with what a ball. In my head, I imagine like this posh looking atmosphere, almost like mask people kind of doing classical dances around, but it doesn't sound like this is that kind of ball. So could you explain more of what you mean by hosting a ball and what that is exactly?
Yeah, so I'll speak a little bit and I'll let Seven chime in as well, but I have to go on record to say that ballroom was started by Black and brown women, trans women, because in New York and DC, the East Coast area, I should say, our Black and brown trans sisters, rest in peace, Paris Dupree, Crystal LaBeija, Dorian Corey, Octavia de St. Laurent, and all the other women, they wanted to go to pageants in upper state New York, and they weren't allowed to win. It was very much so very racist and very segregated community. And so our Black and brown trans sisters said, we're going to start our own spaces. So I always tell people that ballroom started off as fashion categories. So in ballroom, we have categories like best dress, runway, glitz and glam. That is literally you going to a ball, right? You dress up, you look good. But as time went on, ballroom became a space where LGBTQ, specifically Black and brown people, could come and mirror heteronormative activity, right? So the categories literally gave space for people who look like us to be themselves in those spaces to compete for trophies and money. And Vogue itself really started in jail. It was called performance. If people watch Paris is Burning, there's an individual called Paris Dupree, House of Dupree. They were in and out of jail. And when they would be in jail, they would compete. You would take it on the floor. You would Vogue, which is our elements of dance. And so as those categories evolved and ballroom has evolved, we became more mainstream. So you have the show Legendary. Madonna gets a lot of credit for hiring Black and brown, same gender level individuals to Vogue. You now see Beyonce on her tour with actual ballroom leaders like Honey Balenciaga and Carlos Basquiat, people who we know socially are now mainstream. And so at balls, it's a space for you to come and be yourself. It's inclusive of even cis women, kids, you know, it's literally a safe space. But moreover, it's a space for us to reach our community and educate them too. So for example, the pleasure ball, a lot of the categories are centered around safer sex messaging and research so that they can bring the knowledge to the floor and educate others, because we're more likely to retain something when we learn it from people who look like us or that can communicate it in the way that we learn. So, Seven, do you have anything to add?
I feel like that was a great synopsis, but just kind of to add to what Ricardo was saying, another reason why balls were so important back in the day and why they're still relevant to this moment is that it's a way to reach the community where they're at and provide those central resources or key resources to people in a way that they may otherwise not receive them on a day-to-day. We have some people in ballroom culture who literally, like, it's all that they know, for instance. So how Ricardo said that for some of them, they go and they compete for monetary cash prizes in an effort to pay their bills or to have, you know, just resources readily available. But if I can catch a kid or I can catch someone who may be marginalized in the community and be able to provide health equity while I'm there, or be able to provide rental assistance, or just be able to help them get off the streets and have a hot meal or a safe place for a couple of hours, that's what we're aiming to do. And so that's why our ballroom culture is so imperative to this day.
Mm-hmm. And I'll also add to us being in Milwaukee, Milwaukee is an up-and-coming scene. We were here before, it just kind of died down, but like, when you think of ballroom, people think of New York, Chicago, Atlanta, and like LA. And so we're next door to Chicago. So we are a revived scene, and to be able to do a ball in Racine where it's like no people's land, but we know people are there, right? This is going to be a good opportunity for us to not only like showcase talent for people who look like us, Black and brown people and QPOC individuals, but also to let people know like ballroom is here and we're mobilizing and these are spaces that are needed and that people should continue to engage ballroom leader experts and create spaces for Black and brown individuals. And this collaborative partnership with the center is the perfect way to demonstrate what it is to have meaningful community engagement and how to serve our community in a way that we receive the information and not from a perspective of what the system and society says that we should be doing as people with ourselves and our lives and how we choose to show up in the world.
Okay, so wrapping my head around this. So balls and ballroom kind of culture that developed from basically being excluded and to form it your own, and specifically black and brown folks, black and brown trans queer folks forming it together and basically hosting their own pageants developing into balls. Is that correct from what I understood there?
Yes, that's,
and
we got some work to do, but that's a good sum up. You had to get your one
right. And so there's a term that you mentioned that kind of was the part of the influence, was like you mentioned it was kind of like mimicking heteronormativity. Was I getting that right? Could you explain what heteronormativity is?
So in ballroom, mirroring that is basically showing up in a space and learning and seeing how, in my opinion, being gay doesn't always equal femininity. It doesn't always equal masculinity. People can look that gay doesn't have a face. You can be just as masculine. You could be just as feminine. You could be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. It doesn't mean that because I'm gay, I'm homeless, or I do sex work, or whatever the choices that people make. Being LGBTQ or being a queer person of color doesn't always result in that stereotype, right? So growing up in my community, in a very stern household, if you showed any realm of femininity, that meant you were gay. But doing gender and identity and sexuality are three different things. You know, I could wear a dress, that doesn't mean I'm gay. But in ballroom, with the category realness, if you can walk that runway and be masculine, that doesn't mean that they don't know that you're gay. So it was, how do I live in this world and exist and blend and not be ostracized because of my femininity or for who I am? I can show up in this space as who I am, regardless of what people think, and compete for cash, trophies, and reputation. Put me there, you know? And just a little bit more context around that too. Most houses were started by labels, right? So House of Chanel, the house I'm a part of, House of Mizrahi, House of Gorgeous Gucci, Ebony, these houses were started because the founders loved these fashion brands and these fashion icons. That gave more value into the community, right? So, for example, House of Mizrahi, Andre was actually a LaBeija. If people watch Paris is Burning, Pepe LaBeija was one of his parents. And he later became a Revlon, and he said one day he was on the pier in New York and wanted to start his own ballroom house after being in ballroom for some years. He was going through the magazine, and he said he saw an ad for Isaac Mizrahi, and he said, oh, I want my house to be Mizrahi. So even Isaac Mizrahi knows that there's a ballroom house in his name, and, you know, we've had celebrities like J-Lo, Beyonce, Amber Rose, people like talk about our ballroom house. Same thing with Gorgeous Gucci. They were on Legendary. You know, they have done their impact work too. So it's all like this full circle moment when it comes to house and ballroom.
Yeah, and it, something that sounds amazing to me is there's this vast history, long history with balls and ballroom, but you're also mentioning like big names for of people that kind of do ballroom, go to do performances. And a big takeaway I'm getting from what a ball is, it's also an opportunity to be basically like perform yourself in the way you envision it. And that sounds incredible. To go to an event that is specifically about not pigeonholing yourself into something, but being your own person. Is that's kind of in the vibe we're getting with this one?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, when you look at the demographics like Wisconsin, I can't even think of any place where black and brown people, queer people of color can go and be themselves that's founded, led, and organized by black and brown people. I mean, we have places like This Is It that is a total safe space, and it's always, George and his team are always being inclusive and working to better things in our community to have those spaces. But like ballroom is a place where you can walk through the door and you're going to see more people who look like you than people who don't. You know, and we actually host Vogue nights at This Is a Bar. And when that night happens, you totally see not a different population, but you see more people who look like you because there's a space where they can go. Right. And so even by us doing this ball and racing, this is another space where people like us can go. And those spaces are created all around the world. I mean, ballroom is even in Europe now. We have people from the U.S. traveling to Paris and London to go support other ballroom houses who are creating these spaces for people who look like us. I also would add that in addition to these spaces being for us, we're more impacted by social determinants of health and other things like HIV and harm reduction because we're in these spaces where there's a lack of access to things, we're more prominent to endure those disparities, right? So that's another reason why this ball is important, because prior to it's going to be a harm reduction market where people who do black market moans or do moans or who use other drugs can get the safer sex tools that they need and information. Overdose is a big thing in our community. So if it's in our community as people of color, it's in the ballroom scene because those same people come into those spaces. So it's important to have access to those services and other services so that we can live a healthier life as well.
Yeah. Thanks for that. And before I get to Venus, I just want to say I definitely know that feeling of walking into a space and, you know, I see a bunch of people and no one looks like me as a black man walking into a venue, and I'll just be like, people look at me like, what are you doing here? As if like you don't belong to that space. And ballrooms are countering that. So Venus, I think you had an addition to that, correct? So why don't you go on?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about why it's called the Pleasure Ball and why that was the idea. The mission for Colorful and Connected is to create spaces that are led by and for Black, Indigenous, and other people of color as a way to generate joy and build community. That's the mission statement of Colorful and Connected, the program. We already, as community leaders and activists, we do all the hard stuff every day. We go out into our communities. We advocate for our people. Like, that's what we do every day. And it kind of just leaves almost no time for joy or pleasure, because we're so focused on surviving that we don't really get that time to, like, really just learn what pleasure is. So even though, like, we're focused on, like, safer sex practices for the ball, it's about being able to have that joy and come into a space. And that's also the reason why I think a ball versus a community day versus a block party versus anything else was the best option to do, especially with the help of Seven and Ricardo, as a way to generate that joy and build community. So yeah, that was my little two cents.
I want to piggyback off of that if I can. I think it's so important to just acknowledge that so many Black and Brown folks, not even just in the queer community, but the heteronormative community, never have the opportunity to explore or to express their sexuality or sensuality growing up. And so we have a lot of adults that then become, for the lack of better words, you know, afraid or prudes or just not in touch with those aspects of themselves. And so it just becomes this hurt community or these people that are alienated and not knowing how to go in love and just pleasure themselves or just provide sensuality to other folks. And if you don't know how to pleasure yourself or you don't have a sense of self-love or self-worth or self-empowerment, how can you expect to instill that in someone else? Or how can you expect to provide that to a partner or give that to someone else? It's unrealistic, like you can't, in so little words. And so I hope that people who decide to come or the participants of this ball receive that and are loved and are engulfed in that sense of pleasure and able to go home and say, I really did receive something from this tonight. Or even if they've never been to a ball, but they're able to go home and ask questions or foster dialogue with folks around them to be able to say, what does pleasure look like? And how can we invoke these conversations with other people and just continue to engage in pleasure with themselves afterwards?
And I just want to also add to Seven real quick is that, you know, part of ballroom is not just about having those spaces to compete and walk for cash prizes and trophies, but it's a space of professional development. This will be Seven's first ball, and it's a major ball as being her first ball. So in ballroom, that's going to add to her leadership and her credibility. So now Seven doesn't, and she's one of the first $1,000 face kids in Milwaukee, right? And so this adds to her credibility where now when she goes to the East Coast and West Coast, if the commentator who's hosting the event and knows their history, Seven's going to get acknowledged as that person. That adds credibility. That's just like when you go to the doctor, the clinic, you know, you kind of listen to the nurse, you kind of listen to the front desk clerk, but you really want to know what the doctor has to say. But in ballroom, you don't have to be the doctor to know the information. You earn your credibility, you earn your respect, and you're seen as that for who you are. And us collaborating, I mean, even Venus after this, you know, she could do her own thing if she wanted to and be acknowledged for that because of this ball. So it's not just about the trophies and the money, but the leadership, the sense of belonging, the credibility, and the respect that you gain in your home, in your region, and not have to leave and go somewhere else to get that. It's like the claim to fame. Like, we have something called LSS. It's called Legends, Stars, and Statements. And it's paying homage to people who've helped move our community forward nationally and regionally. And if you could just go to a ball and hear LSS, that's the favorite part of the night. Even though we're there for the money, we like, what? Who getting called out for LSS? You know? And to see the joy on people's faces, them chanting their house names, and to see the passion when people are getting called out, that's like opening night of the Grammys at any ball. So it's a sense of empowerment. It's pleasurable.
If you're just joining us, this is WGTD's Community Matters. I am sitting down with Venus, Ricardo, and Seven on the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin hosting a ball and ball culture overall. So we just got done talking about like what the kind of the purpose, the point of having a ball is for the Black and Brown community, as well as bringing people and communities together and empowering the self, recognizing the self and what pleasure means to different folks. We've talked about the history and it kind of going around between, you know, Chicago, New York, and Milwaukee, but this ball is taking place in Racine. And so, Venus, I'm wondering why a ball and why in Racine to have a ball, especially with Seven and Ricardo, who are kind of, they're, you know, in the area, but, you know, Milwaukee's there, Chicago's there. Why kind of work with and bring them in with your role in the center?
Well, one of the objectives that I had when I first started, developing the Colorful and Connected program was to change the attitude that people had towards Racine, including people who lived in Racine. There's a lot of, like, Black and Brown queer folks in Racine who have either been here for a long time or just now coming, even people who are from Milwaukee, from Chicago. People, from what I've seen, people have heard the word Racine and kind of cringed a little, especially if they're, like, Black and Brown and queer. Like, they are, like, absolutely not. No. And the whole idea of even, instead of going to Milwaukee, because that would have been easier. Like, that's the easy option. That's the easy path, bringing Racinians to Milwaukee. I wanted to bring Milwaukee and the Midwest to Racine to show people that Racine has people here and the folks here have somewhere to go. It's a way to help people, or I don't really like that term, but let people know that they have the ability to create safe spaces here, and then also identifying who those people are that they can work with. We're working with the branch at 1501. It's owned by Christina. She's been super helpful. She's donated this venue to us, and that's something she didn't have to do, but she's in community. Like, she does stuff for the community. Any planters you see in Uptown, Christina did that. She owns a plant shop. She's great. So identifying, like, pockets of Black and Brown queer joy in Racine. It's super important for me. And also meeting Seven was like perfect because Seven's from Racine. So I was like, absolutely yes. And I can kind of let Seven take like why they think it's important too.
I remember Venus and I had a very candid conversation one day, and I was like, the thing about Racine is that like, they don't know you, they're not going to buy into it. I was like, in child, I was like, they don't know you. And I was like, and I said, but the thing that you have going for yourself is that you're attempting to foster safe spaces for people. People of all walks of life. Yes, the goal of Colorful and Connected is to foster, you know, safe spaces for Black and Brown queer folks, but you're very intentional about helping people discover what those identities look like for themselves that they don't know if that's a space that they should occupy or not. And that was what I respected about you. And so from there, I'm like, okay, like, you know, you have your different events, you know, at Pepe's, you know, queer mixers that you're doing. I know you're doing groups, you know, virtual and in-person, you know, each week. I'm like, how can we elevate this? And how can we give the people of Milwaukee, I mean, the people of Racine, I'm so sorry, something that they haven't experienced yet? Because I'm going to be honest, like they said, I am a native of Racine. And when I grew up there, there really wasn't a lot of activity or things that were going on. Like, you really see a lot of people migrate to Milwaukee or migrate to Chicago in order to have those sense of enjoyment or joy or pleasurement. And it shouldn't always have to be that, especially when there's so many talented people, as Venus said, that are there in the city, and we just need to learn how to bring them out. And as far as ballroom culture, I wanted the folks of Milwaukee to see that, like, okay, like, you know, a kid from Racine comes and they're infiltrating their city and, you know, kind of creating a name for themselves. But I want to see want them to see what's so special about my hometown and why I am the way that I am and who I am as a person. And that, again, there are other people like me that are equally doing great things. And also, too, just to meet the communities and bring them together. Because for the longest, I feel like people used to come to Racine. Like, there were a lot of great attributes about the city. You know, Parkside had a lot of college parties that people used to attend. I know people used to go to Club Icon quite a bit. You know, back when we were a festival city, people would come down, you know, for events on the pier. And so I just want that sense of community to be fostered again in my hometown. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm thankful that Venus is willing to cultivate space with us, and that this won't be the last time, but that we'll start cultivating other experiences for Black and Brown folks as well.
Yep. And I'm also an alumni of UW Parkside. I graduated in 2013 with my bachelor's. And during my time there, I was involved in the LGBTQ community. And I didn't see a lot of people like me besides the people who were on campus. And so this is a full circle moment for me to come back to a community that nurtured who I am as a person, and be able to give back in a different capacity. I've worked with Gateway College and other entities, institutions in Racine and Kenosha area. So that's even another full circle moment to be able to reach out and say, hey, we're doing this event. You know, we want to invite you all out. And it's like giving back to your community. So.
So for all three of you, really, this is really an important way to kind of show love for your community and bring positive experience to the community, like making the community what you want to see, and show everyone else too, show Chicago, show Milwaukee, show Kenosha what's like. This is, we can have things here too. We're not just the place where you stop and get gas between the two cities. There's more here to that. That's kind of what this kind of event is really meaning to you all.
Indeed.
Yeah, I would say that too. It's really important. And most importantly, again, reiterating this, it's important for people who are in these communities to see people like them being more. And what I mean by more is like serving our community, being from the community. That is another way of having impact, right? Like, all three of us will be the first to host the first ball in Racine. And kids who are coming, people who are coming, they're never going to forget that moment. They're never going to forget being in that space where they could be celebrated and to see people who look like them. And Seven and I are in prominent houses, and the leaders in our house, it's empowering to them too, and the youth in Racine and the youth in Milwaukee, to see Venus, to see us all working together. And I will also say that though we're being supported by institutions and organizations to do this, we're demonstrating that it can be done. Community can come together and we can celebrate each other, and we can be as one in those spaces.
Awesome. So I imagine for a lot of people that would be interested in going to the ball, this is probably going to be their first experience with a ball. So I kind of want to like prepare folks that are going to hear this or be interested in like how best should someone prepare to go to this sort of event? Like what does that look like for that person? Ricardo, you might be the best to answer this one and see the editor nodding their heads like,
Kevin also can answer, so I'm sure she will comment because she's a $1,000 girl now. But I would say for spectators, meaning people who aren't in house and ballroom and really want to just learn and have fun, come be present and be respectful, right? So like, what's the best way to explain this? Like, you know, like in the church, you knew the people with the money set in the front and you knew the people in the pulpit. That's the house and ballroom community, right? So like when houses are walking, be respectful, but also be observant, right? Understand what's going on. Read the categories. You know, I think in these spaces, because the spaces are limited, people just come and they just want to walk. They don't even care if, you know, if they win or not. They just want to be celebrated and acknowledged. So I think as spectators, for people who aren't in ballroom, come observe and be respectful. And for people who are in ballroom and are in houses, read the categories, come for what it requires so you don't get chopped, and just have a fun time, you know?
To add to that, so we talk about like these categories, and Ricardo keeps saying read the categories. The categories can be found on Facebook under the Pleasure Ball event. And I think that's very important because, again, like if you do not bring it for what these categories are asking, you will be chopped, honey. Yep. And so, go ahead.
Oh, and the categories are like the Bible to the success of the night, right? So the categories lay out what's expected, how you should bring it, and what you need to do to win. The competition comes in when you have more than one person who's walking that category, right? So then the judges get to basically decide who it is that they want to choose. And then the commentator, which is the master of ceremonies, a commentator is like a DJ on the mic. You are responsible for keeping the momentum, the flow, and getting the people in line when they get out of line. And so, yeah, the categories play such a pivotal role into the ball itself so people understand what they need to bring in order to win that night.
You kind of asked originally what people should expect, and I think that people should have no expectations. We recently had a ball at Pride a couple of months ago, and my family attended for the first time. And I think that when people who are spectators or people who are not participants of ballroom hear about balls, they're probably like, what the hell is going on? Like, you know, like, because we spend so much money and we invest so much time into these effects and into these looks and just the experience, and we like to call them moments in ballroom, but it's only for 5 minutes or it's only for 15 minutes. And so that 15 minutes can be, you know, a lifetime memory for some folks, and people will talk about it, you know, for years to come. Or it can be, you know, just a moment that even if no one saw it for you, you created a moment for yourself and an experience. But I bring up my family coming because they know that I'm actively a part of ballroom, but for them to see like people go up for you, or for them to see that people are like, oh no, they really paid attention to the details of like her stoning her own heels, or like, or how they performed on the floor. It really is an experience for folks. And I think that people have to genuinely be there and have that experience in person to have a sense of respect for it. Because otherwise folks are like, okay, well, you know, they did their big one, or they did their thing, or that was nice to watch. But you have to experience the energy and the synergy in the room in order to really appreciate it and value it. So I'm definitely, yeah, like I said, looking forward to folks to come on out on September 22nd. So
I would add that in reference to like what to expect, and with Seven saying no expectation, I'm always amazed, as long as I've been doing balls and organizing and attending, I always find another reason why I love ballroom when we do these balls. When Seven talked about walking at Pride Fest, it always amazes me the reaction of spectators. So like when we have the realness category or like sex siren, and with sex siren, like you're to exude sexiness, right? People be like, they're gay. They're walking and they're gay. And I'm like, baby, gay ain't got no face, baby. You better, you sit back and watch and root, you know? So I'm like always amazed of the impact that of a community that's been ostracized for so long, not just with sexuality, but like racism and oppression, that people come into our space and are just as amazed as we are with what's cultivating in that space.
That sounds incredible. And the idea of people enjoying that space, I know with some, I'm thinking of, there is a book that I'd read recently, of course it goes back to a book, where the author specifically said this is a book meant to celebrate queer joy. And it sounds like a ball is really meant to celebrate joy and being joyful in yourself. And in this case, I know part of Venus's goals really for Black and brown joy and queer joy in Racine, and seeing that joy, that happiness in Racine, in the local community in Racine. And Venus, I kind of want to get to you before we kind of do our closeouts and where do you go for information and all that jazz. Venus, at the end of the day, say the ball happens, what do you, when you're looking at and reflecting back, what would the ball being successful look like to you?
I think at the end of the day, I will want people to ask for more. That's what it's all about. For people to be like, I want to do this. How do I do this? Who do I need to talk to? People like taking all of the knowledge, all of the joy that they got from the event and taking it home. People coming out of the woodworks and being like, I went to this event and it changed my perception on where I am. And I feel like I can do something with this. Like I feel like I could do something with my community. That's my take home. It's not even like the aesthetics of the ball. It's like everything that comes after.
Awesome. Thank you, Venus. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you, Seven. Venus, for those that are interested in more information, how can they contact you or the LGBT Center? How can people get more info?
If you want to contact me directly, you can hit my email. It's my first name, Venus, at lgbtsewi.org. If you want tickets, you're going to go to payvee, that's payvee.io/@lgbtsewi@27. And you can purchase, well, it's not really a purchase. The tickets are free, just by the way. But you can get your free ticket at that site. As far as also so many other options, you can follow the Facebook event page. It should just be under the Pleasure Ball. Also, you can keep updated with us at our website. So the LGBT Center of Southeast Wisconsin on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. And this has been a fantastic conversation, and I'm hoping you all have a nice rest of your days. Thank you. This has been WGTD's Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. I'm Steve Brown, inviting you to listen to the WGTD Radio Theater's live broadcast on Saturday, September 9th at 11:15 a.m. when we present The Cane Shadow, The Library Mystery. Broadcasting from the Kenosha Southwest Neighborhood Library at 7979 38th Avenue. Support comes from the Brown Osa Performing Arts Foundation and from the Kenosha Public Library. The Cane Shadow Library Mystery, Saturday morning, September 9th at 11:15.